In the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "Indeed, the word of God is living and effective, sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating even between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and able to discern reflections and thoughts of the heart." Yes, the Word of God is living and effective today in my life and in yours. And that's the very reason why I'm offering this weekly podcast where I reflect upon the liturgical scripture readings for the Sunday Mass. So now, please join me on Faith Moments with Dina Marie as we break open the Word of God together, inviting His Word to change our lives forever. Greetings. This is Dina Marie of Faith Moments. Welcome to our weekly podcast where we proclaim and ponder the Sunday Mass readings. Here we are lighting the fourth candle in our Advent wreath, and we are very close to the Christmas season. In fact, today, the 21st of December, is known as the longest night, and it falls on a Sunday this year. So our fourth Sunday is on December 21st, and just an opportunity for us to prepare, make those final preparations to make that good confession before we enter into the Christmas season, to open your hearts more widely to the Lord. And so let's begin with the collect prayer as we look to the theme of these readings today that really quickly anticipate Christmas. Emmanuel. Emmanuel, God is with us. Keep that in mind as we hear the readings for today. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech you, O Lord, your grace into our hearts, that we, to whom the incarnation of Christ your Son was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. Now, you might have been thinking, wait, Dina Marie, that's part of the Angelus prayer, isn't it? Yes, it is. It was several years ago that I heard this prayer, the Collect, prayed on the fourth Sunday of Advent. And I made that the connection of the Angelus prayer and the final prayer that we pray for Angelus, and then this Collect prayer. And they're the same prayer. It's just so beautiful, the liturgy of the church. Let's listen to it again. Pour forth, we beseech you, O Lord, your grace into our hearts. You know, grace is a gift. We don't earn it. We can't take it. We can't see it. We can see its effects happening in our lives, in the lives of others. But we're asking for the Lord to pour forth his grace into our hearts. And if God's going to pour grace into your hearts, well, if it's a stony heart, it's not going to go anywhere. But if it's soft and malleable and it's open, boy, the Lord can pour a lot of grace into that heart, that humble heart, that docile heart, that childlike heart, that faithful heart. That's the heart you want to have. That we, to whom the incarnation, right? The incarnation, God becoming flesh, the incarnation of Christ, your Son, was made known. How did we know about the incarnation? By the message of an angel, Gabriel, to the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Immaculate Conception, at the Annunciation, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross. The incarnation happened in order that the passion and the cross could happen. We can't have a passion. We can't have a sacrifice without a body. But we have the human and the divine body, all in one, truly human, truly divine, of Christ. The incarnation of Christ sacrificed on the cross to bring about the glory of his resurrection and that, what we talked about last week, eternal joy promised to you and I. Beautiful prayer. It brings the church alive. You hear the prayer and it may just go right past your ears. You're still worried about the kids. You're still getting settled in your seat. You're trying to open up the book. What page did they say? You don't even know that the readings are in the missal in front of you. You're distracted a thousand ways, but here's the prayer.
Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we, to whom the incarnation of Christ, your Son, was made known by the message of an angel. This is truth. May by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection. Amen. So let us hear these words proclaimed on the fourth Sunday of Advent. A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Lord spoke to Ahaz, saying, "Ask for a sign from the Lord your God. Let it be deep as the netherworld or high as the sky." But Ahaz answered, "I will not ask. I will not tempt the Lord." Then Isaiah said, "Listen, O house of David, is it not enough for you to weary people? Must you also weary my God? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you this sign. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel." The word of the Lord. Let the Lord enter. He is King of glory. The Lord's are the earth and its fullness, the world and those who dwell in it. For he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Let the Lord enter. He is King of glory. Who can ascend the mountain of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? One whose hands are sinless, whose heart is clean, who desires not what is vain. Let the Lord enter. He is King of glory. He shall receive a blessing from the Lord, a reward from God his Savior. Such is the race that seeks for him, that seeks the face of the God of Jacob. Let the Lord enter. He is King of glory. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised previously through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, the gospel about his Son, descended from David according to the flesh, but established as Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness through resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him we have received the grace of apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name, among all the Gentiles, among whom are you also, who are called to belong to Jesus Christ, to all the beloved of God in Rome, called to be holy. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Now this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. When his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man, yet unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. Such was his intention when, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home. For it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took his wife into his home. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So God is with us, Emmanuel. Hopefully you've had the chance to sing that beautiful song, O come, Emmanuel. And we've had these O antiphons, the different comings of Christ, the different words that we associate with the coming of the Lord. In these final days, preparing for the vigil and then the celebration of the nativity of the Lord, the coming of the Lord. And we hear the prophet Isaiah speaking those words at the end of this reading in Isaiah 7. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel. Again, we're told in the gospel that that word Emmanuel means God is with us. Last week, we heard the people cry out for God to be with them. And here is this promise. Here's the promise. The prophets are promising what's going to happen with the Messiah. What's he going to look like? How is he going to act? But it's clear that the Messiah will be with us, that God himself, not just another man that will be rising up from the mire, not just another boy who will become a king. No, he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He has divinity. He's fully divine. We hear in Isaiah, listen, O house of David, because David is the Davidic, is the prophetic line. The line of the kings will come from the line of David. And we're going to hear a thread. O house of David is in Isaiah 7. In Romans, we hear Paul talking about descended from David according to the flesh. So there's this presence of this acknowledgement of the line of David that the Messiah is going to come. Now, from the last of the prophets until John the Baptist, we hear it's about 400 years that the Israelites are waiting for the coming of the Messiah. Do you think they grew impatient? Remember last week that in James, we were talking about, you too must be patient. Can you imagine waiting 400 years? It's hard for me to think about that. You know, even for us in the United States to think 400 years ago, our country wasn't even founded. And the history of our family's generations only goes back so far, although in reality it goes back right to Adam and Eve. But our own family here in the United States, in the Northern American hemisphere, we've only got a few hundred years. And yet the people, some were patient. We're patient. In the psalm, it says, let the Lord enter. That means he's here. He's with us. Those that are awaiting the Lord, that are preparing that home, that have turned away, repent, as John the Baptist has urged us to repent from sin, turn away from indifference, from your neighbor, from your family, to pray for your enemies. Those whose heart is clean, who desires not what is vain, he shall receive a blessing from the Lord. Such is the race that seeks for him, that seeks the face of the house of Jacob. Are you seeking the Lord? Again, if you're watching the video of this, you see this beautiful image of Joseph in a dream. This was actually taken, this picture was taken at St. Joseph Catholic Church in Salem, Oregon. And it's beautiful just thinking about Joseph wrestling with that thought of, I don't quite understand, my wife is already pregnant before she has moved into the home. What am I going to do? And so here is the account from Matthew, in the fourth Sunday of the Advent season, where we hear part of the birth of Christ, and we hear Joseph wrestling with this idea that maybe he should let Mary be alone, and maybe he just needs to change his plans to marry her. And while he's in a dream, maybe he's just really wrestling, can't decide what he should do. the world says you should make these steps, but his heart is wrestling with this, and rightfully so, right? Because Mary was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, and that is how she conceived of Jesus. And so Joseph experiences some supernatural way this angel. We assume that the angel is Gabriel. Do not be afraid to take Mary into your home. Don't be afraid to keep moving forward in that plan that you made. This is part of God's plan. It's a big plan. It's the plan of salvation. So just keep taking the next step forward, Joseph. And then the angel gives a little bit of information to Joseph. You know, the Holy Spirit is the one. Now, Mary probably told Joseph, you know, it was the Holy Spirit, and it's kind of hard for Joseph to understand that, rightfully so. But the angel affirms it's the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived. And so she will bear a son. And you, as the father of the child, as the one who rightfully names the child, some people say foster father, but Joseph was the father for Jesus in this time and place, was chosen to be the head of the Holy Family, the head of the church, so to speak, to care for, to protect, to preserve, to defend the Savior, the guardian of the Savior, the guardian of the Redeemer is Joseph. And the angel says this so beautiful, she will bear a son and you are to name him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. So we get the identity of Jesus. We get his mission. His mission is Savior. His mission is salvation. His mission is to die on the cross, but not to just stay on the cross, that he will rise from the dead. And through that final passion, through that final sacrifice, through that total gift of self, he brings about our salvation. Not only those in that time, in that space, but throughout all of history, because of that act, that total act of love, that total act of self-sacrifice, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will never perish, but have eternal life. So Joseph, go fulfill that destiny that I've given to you. I've given you that responsibility to care for Mary, to protect her, to keep her safe, to keep the Christ child safe. And he will do so for many years, to lead them out of danger when Jesus is just but an infant, but also to show them to the shepherds, to the Magi, to Simeon and Anna, who will recognize the Savior immediately. And so Joseph, he awoke from that dream and he was obedient. This is one of the great qualities of Joseph, obedient to the Lord, obedient to the Lord. And he took his wife into his home. And I think that is the message that we can hear today in the gospel from the angel, the messenger of God. Take Mary into your home. Have you taken Mary into your home? Because when we take Mary into our home, we take Christ. It's not just Mary. And she would say, it's not me. It's because I was the one who bore Christ. It's because I want to help you get closer to my son, our Savior, in conversation with God for the fourth Sunday of Advent. It says, we can think of the whole of our life as a somewhat longer Advent, a time of waiting. You know, our whole life is waiting for that definitive moment when we will at last find ourselves with God forever, that everlasting joy we talked about last week. There's no better way of preparing for Christmas, which is now so close, than by keeping Mary company, getting to know her and deepening our love and trust in her. Mary imparts a great joy to our souls because when we turn to her, she leads us to Christ. Mary teaches us to hope. And I would extend that by saying Mary and Joseph, the Holy Family, keep them close. You know, they're part of our nativity scene, but they should be part of our family. They want us to be a holy family. To be filled with that joy is to be filled with that hope, and to follow like Saint Joseph, who was obedient to the will of God. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
You have been listening to Faith Moments with Dina Marie, reflections upon the liturgical scripture readings for the Sunday Mass. New podcast episodes are released weekly through the generous support of Mater Dei Radio. To learn more about Faith Moments with Dina Marie, visit me online at dinamarie.org. That's dinamarie.org. May you have a blessed week.